Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
BT and Sal on the Fan. You know, I wanted to I teased a little bit before about that Abdul Carter. I wanted to run it by you and tell me what you think of
Let's
what I
it.
Heard.
Okay.
Because I'm not sure what the deal is anymore. I've never been somebody who's been into, like doing weed or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard like it's fine. Used to be potheads or
stoner, pothead.
Okay,
you know, like back
fair
in the day.
Enough.
It, obviously, perceptions changed quite a bit.
Correct. That's why I'm asking.
Legal. Yeah, go ahead.
Right, and now we know that it's legal, and a lot more people do it. I think.
Yeah, I had some Friday night.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. Right. So
it's been a rough week.
So
man.
I'm not sure what the term would be, but and take this for what you will. May not be a big deal. It may be a big deal to some. I have no idea. But the way that it was told to me was basically Abdul Carter clearly does not prioritize putting everything he can into being a football player, and that he does partake in some of those activities maybe a little bit more than one should, which leads to either not paying attention or falling asleep in meetings or things like that, and that this was a problem obviously under Dable, but because of Dable's unstable footing, he couldn't discipline him. Also, that Penn State did an excellent job of covering up some of these potential issues with Abdul Carter, which we're now seeing play out in real time with the Giants. Mm. Not only the off-the-field nonsense that he continues to get himself in trouble for, but obviously on the field not being productive enough.
Okay. So years ago, the New York Jets did not draft Warren Sapp. They took Kyle Brady instead, also out of Penn State, ironically, because they were turned off by Warren Sapp's marijuana use.
Right.
All right. Obviously, we're in a totally different climate here.
Laramie Tunsil.
Yes, as well.
He got penalized because of the
remember he did, he had that gas mask. I don't know what the hell that was. That was a little different. I'm not going to lie. That would have rattled me, too. I don't know if I could draft you with that. What the, smoke a bone. I mean, I don't know what the hell contraptions on your face, man. I'm going to run away from that. I think that I would rather personally, first of all, I think all of these, or not all, that of the vast majority of pro athletes, certainly in the NBA, and I would think that in football as well, to deal with the pain, I would myself rather have one, if I owned the team or if I was a head coach, I would rather have a player, I was going to be very honest with everybody right now, take a gummy, and then, of course, be responsible, don't drive, that goes without saying, rather than drink. Because I know
the young kids are going to do both.
Sure. Okay. 100%.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, when you drink, the next day, you're shot. I mean, if you drink too much, you're useless the next day. Whereas if you take, depending upon the dosage and the milligrams, and if you do anything, any other stuff along with it, which I certainly would not advise, if you take a gummy or you take a couple of hits of a vape and you're a pro athlete and you go to bed, you're going to wake up like it's time to eat your Wheaties. You're fine. To me, it's the alcohol. The residual impact that the alcohol brings to an athlete is much more detrimental than some THC. That's my first view on it. My second view on Carter, I would then volley back and say, if this report is true, and it might be,
I'm not
here to refute it.
Yeah,
innuendo, however, my bad, not report.
Well,
you're right.
I mean, somebody told me that was an issue, or is an issue.
Yep. I think that there are so many people in the NFL that do this that are ready for work, are ready to be alert right. and engaged in meetings. So I don't think it's necessarily a THC thing as much as I do. This guy either might not love his job and is not as committed to his craft as the Giants thought he was or he would be when they took him third overall.
We hear a lot of stuff. God, I mean, I can't even tell you how much stuff I've heard about that. Like guys prioritizing, maybe not prioritizing is the right word, but guys freely using marijuana yeah. or whatever you want to call it.
THC is just the compound whatever. That gives you like that feeling.
It's
sure.
much more prevalent, I think, now than I ever thought it was or could be. Now, I remember back then they were doing coke and all those
different. Oh, yeah.
And ultimately, would I want to invest in somebody who's doing that regularly? I would not, but mm-hmm. that's just my choice. But ultimately, I think you're right. It doesn't matter what Abdul Carter's doing as long as he's doing his job. It doesn't matter what he's doing off the field as long as he's doing his job on the field. And part of that job is to show up for meetings on time and to be attentive in these meetings and not fall asleep and be there for walkthroughs and then obviously go out there and produce. So he's had the trifecta of where he's messing around, I guess, doing you're just not taking it seriously or prioritizing it. Falling asleep in these meetings or whatever it is that he's doing, missing the walkthroughs, and then not having the production on the field. That can't happen. And then for the Giants organization to invest in a player that has some of these clear character flaws, mm-hmm. that's where I would have an issue. So some may know about it, and then you say, well, we love the player, and we don't think it's going to be an issue. A lot of guys do this stuff. It's not going to be an issue. Okay, fair enough. And that's why I bring the question up as opposed to saying, he shouldn't be doing this. I don't really care what he does.
Yeah.
As far as, like, smoking weed, whatever. I don't know. Couldn't care less about that. I care about getting to the quarterback. I care about paying attention in meetings. So when you have all these things going on with a player, that just shows that is a bad, bad, bad sign for year one of a rookie player with all the expectations for the third overall pick.
It's a convenient excuse or reasoning maybe for having a subpar season. I don't know that that's attributable to it. I mean, I don't know what he's doing when he's at. Is he really engaged in the weight room? Is he? I mean, obviously he's not paying attention in the meetings. That's for sure. You know, what's he doing at home? I don't know, but I'll tell you this. I think, depending upon how old you are, like I think my dad, who's pretty open-minded, even though he's pretty much anti-drug, I think he gets it more than most older people. My dad's in his early 80s. I think most older people, like, if they knew what athletes were doing, they would be appalled.
Right.
Whereas,
myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm 46.
You've said it. You've never tried it. I get it. I think, well, I know, and I'm not going to give you specifics. A good buddy of mine who I went to high school with, somebody in his family made the major leagues. I will not tell you the mm-hmm. team that he played for. And he was a pitcher. He was a pitcher. He made the show for a little bit. And, you know, maybe two or three appearances. I remember watching him. It was pretty awesome. And I became pretty friendly with this guy as well, a little bit younger than my buddy. And we were on a couple Jets trips together, big Jets fan, go to Jets games, whatever. And he was telling me, he's like, dude, you should see what it's like. We get back to the Four Seasons, whatever it is. He goes, nobody goes out and has drinks and tries to pick up women like they used to back in the day. And all the players, they get their, you know, their gaming systems,
yeah, right.
their gummies. They get a little high. They play games. They go to bed.
Right. So who's to say that might be better off than going out and getting into fights and all those
things? I think in a lot of ways it is, provided you know when to draw the line. And then, you know, again, I think... Hey, let me put it this way. If you said, all right, man, you've got to run 10 miles in the morning, and I'm not running 10 miles at any point of the day, but at this point, if I had to, and they say, you could take a gummy or you could have five scotches, give me the gummy. I know I'll feel good when I wake up.
Here's the bottom line. You got to produce. You got to show up and be a good employee. When they and you got meetings, you got to go to the meetings.
Oh, yeah.
You got walkthroughs, you got to go to the walk. Like, you got to
pro.
You got to, exactly. It's not that hard. And to invest in a third overall pick, that the guy that's not doing that, and then he's not you can overlook it if they're producing on the field, and he's not. So then you start to hear things that I'm hearing, and then it's like, man, all this together, this just seems like a disastrous pick from the Giants with Abdul Carter, who's the guy that I wanted, both of you and I
Me
wanted
too.
Him.
Me too.
But again, we don't know, and apparently the Giants didn't know either, some of the other stuff that's going on. We see the film. We see him on the field. He looks like an absolute beast.
The only thing that we really knew, there were some whispers at Penn State. I'd be lying if I said I was really in tune with those about some character stuff. It was more about, remember he had a knee issue?
Yeah,
All. I'm like, all right, if you're going to draft somebody who might have a degenerative condition, third overall, you might have to pass on this kid. But then I was, you know, based on the physicals and the work that he did, I mean, hell, if it's good enough for the teams, getting ready to invest $30 million in him on his first contract is good enough for me because I was completely sold on his talent. Bottom line is this: when Lawrence Taylor tells you you better start shaping up, buddy, and get a little bit more serious, you know it's time to get serious. That's what LT said last week.
And Abdul Carter could be like, "Well, LT, come on, you did everything under the sun, you know, partying and this and that." And LT, but I produced.
He's also the best defensive player in the history of football.
Exactly. That's the thing. It can't be all. You have to. You got to give us something. You want to do the weed and whatever you want to do, fine. You want to miss some of the meetings? Okay, I don't like it, but then you better produce.
Mm-hmm.
You better be sacking every quarterback every week, and obviously that's not been the case with Abdul Carter. Same sacks this week in a bye week than he's had the prior season. WFAN NFL Football powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Let's get back to the phones here, BT.
Yep.
Talking a hot stove, talking a little Giants as well. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Howie is in Manhattan. What's up, Howie?
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. I have a giant question, but first, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to make a quick statement, but I do have a giant question.
Good.
I hope your bosses are listening, because I'm homebound, and I've been listening to FAN since it came on. If I want to listen to Hot Girls, I would listen to Stern. That's my statement. They should put this guy on Comedy Central.
Oh, no, we got to stop you. We appreciate the support for us. Thanks,
I understand.
Howie.
Okay.
Thank you, man.
Okay, here's my Giant question. As a diehard Giants fan, if you guys are doing the pick, it's going to be first, second, or third. I'm looking at linebackers or DBs. What do you guys think?
I'm thinking maybe I go another receiver. And I'm going to look
really?
To maybe. Kid from Ohio State? Yeah, I mean, maybe.
No, I go defense. Yeah.
Their defense is rancid.
And thank you for the call, Howie. I would go defense. Now, again, can we see, A, where they're picking, B, what the draft looks like? It's hard to decide that now. Would you get let's say there's a shutdown, no doubt about it, corner. Let's say there's a stud linebacker. You know, stud safety.
Well, the kid raised from Ohio State would be the only one, I think, a linebacker that you could go top five pick.
Right. Reese. Is there a way to maybe trade down and still get the player that you want? I would not, under any circumstance, select a wide receiver.
I mean, I'm tempted. If you believe Dart's the guy, and I do by now, that's for sure. I mean, you roll out Neighbors, you roll out, you know, whomever you draft at receiver, and a little bit of a better O-line. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm married to that, but I'm open to it. I'm open to a little bit.
BT and Sal on the fan. Hoff, what are you saying there in my ear? This news?
There's MRIs going on with Miles McBride today at practice. He left in a walking boot.
Oh, that's not good.
That's not good. Nick's finally beat the Magic
fire.
Over the weekend. Yeah, he has been playing really well. Cat was out yesterday, too, and they won. They won pretty well. Good game against the Magic.
To a point where initially it's like, and look, if you have to give him up, you have to give him up to get Giannis. But it was just like, whatever, just go get Giannis. But, I mean, losing Deuce would hurt. He's become one of their best shooters on the outside, obviously a valuable piece in what the Knicks have been able to build here as a team.
I did watch a little bit of the game. Obviously, it was at the same time. It was at 12. I don't like 12 noon Sunday tips for the Knicks during the football season. What are we doing?
Well, they had it was a doubleheader at the Garden last night.
Yeah.
Or yesterday.
Yeah.
The Rangers at night.
How'd the Rangers do? I don't even know how they did.
They ended up losing the game.
They lost
I went to that game. That was a game Cadillac.
Well, that's the game that you went? You did go.
When I tell you the seats... I've never sat in a better seat in my life at the Garden.
Where'd you sit?
Red line, six rows behind the press box, behind the penalty box.
Oh, wow.
Took Moose and a couple of my other buddies from home.
Nice.
Went to the Ranger game, and I left with 2 minutes to go in the game because I had to be home for the SNY hit.
Yeah, do your hit.
Yeah. So I'm trying to make sure the math is right here. It'd take me about 45 minutes to get home. Easy peasy.
Did you drive in or train?
I did. I drove, found parking on the street, drove home.
Yep.
So I didn't want to leave with the crowd. So I'm like, all right, 2 minutes to go in the game. I left. The Rangers had a 2-1 lead. Fun game, whatever. I go in the car and I'm on my way home driving. I go and I ask Siri to give me the score of the Rangers. The Vegas Knights won 3-2 in overtime. I'm like, what?
Wow, they scored with 2 minutes to go.
They were 2-1 with 2 minutes to go. They lose it. And yeah, they ended up giving up a goal really late.
Was it a soft goal or real good one?
No, but there was a bad call with the officiating that led to a 4-on-4 play.
Uh-huh.
Vegas pulls the goalie, so 5-on-4 play. They tied the game with under a minute to go.
Come on, dude.
And then they score the overtime winner. Under like 10 seconds to go on a Patrick Laine breakaway. Yeah, exactly.
That's a tough one.
Anyway,
loss,
it was a great night at the Garden. But the
point
is,
I just don't like noon tips for the Knicks
probably,
on Sunday.
Probably because they accommodated the Rangers at night.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember even complaining about, and there's been a few of these this year, and there's going to be some more. Like, the Knicks have a lot of, you know, 6 p.m. tips on Sundays. Whatever. I guess I've kind of gotten used to it. The reason I complain is because I don't think you get that fervent crowd. I almost feel like it's a disadvantage to, like, I would, and the Knicks are playing great at home. They're, what, 13-14-1? I know they only have the one loss there. And the Knicks' overall record is good, but MSG's been dominant. What I'm saying is, give me a Saturday night game. Give me a weeknight game. I feel like the Sunday noon, the Sunday 3 p.m., the Sunday 6 is a little less volatile. And if you're trying to really maximize home court advantage, I don't know that you're really doing it. But the Knicks did play well against the Magic yesterday, for sure. A tough game. Tough game.
Ryan is calling from Fairfield. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. I just want to comment on the whole Abdul Carter thing and how we're kind of like dissecting it like surgeons. Plain and simple, the guy's like got the second French horn in the school band. He's got to play better because you got a guy like Lawrence Taylor, you know, a former Giant. You wanted Lawrence Taylor's number. Lawrence Taylor has openly admitted that he's done everything under the sun right before the game, right before practice, not going to practice, but nobody batted an eye because he was great. You know, and now it's just Abdul Carter's just not playing great.
Right, but when you hear, we understand that, Ryan, and we said the same thing, and thank you for the call. But when you hear those things on top of repeated poor behavior, Kafka's been on the job for how many weeks? He's already had to discipline him twice. This has been going on all year. There's more than just his poor play. That's the point. And maybe some of the other nonsense leads to the poor play. Talent wise, the guy should be can't miss. Abdul Carter's skill set jumps off the screen at you watching highlights at Penn State or watching a game at Penn State. So what the hell is his problem? I don't know about you. If I were given an opportunity like that, you get a call up to the NFL, you better be on your best behavior. I'm not saying you can't go have fun and go out with your friends and all this stuff, but if it's impacting your performance in a negative way, and clearly it is because he's not performing, then you better clean it up. And to me, that just shows a different mindset, BT, one that's not the right one for Abdul Carter. What more do you need to see that he got disciplined the first time? He had to do it a week later and get disciplined.
Listen, I think Dable looks worse and worse and worse. And I'm not even saying that there is a team out there. But if there was a team out there that was looking at Dable like, you know, he squeezed a little something out of Daniel Jones. Well, he did stand on the table and bang the table with his fist to draft Jackson Dart. You know, we're an offensively lean team. Let me hire Dable. I'm not saying anybody's even thinking that right now. But if they were, based on the loose nature of how he ran that locker room with a rookie, That's it. I can't hire you.
But if he did it because he felt his ground wasn't firm, we saw Coughlin do the same thing with Odell Beckham Jr., where he couldn't really discipline Odell or, you know, get him in line the way that he would normally do it.
Because he didn't have the juice that he once had.
And he needed the talent. And maybe that's what Dable was thinking. Like, oh, man, am I going to lose this guy because I need his talent? I don't know. I'm not there, but I hear people who, you know, from people who are there and have the inner workings. Like, again, it's not the biggest deal in the world, but Abdul Carter has been a disaster this first
year. He's got every strike going against him. The production is not what it was supposed to be, commensurate with a third overall pick, and the inability to be emotionally reliable is alarming for the future.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There was a report that might take somebody the Mets or Yankees could have been interested in, maybe more so the Mets, off the board. I'll read that to you now. It was Joel Sherman who said, let me just make sure I pull this up here. Joel Sherman reported on MLB Network that he strongly believes the Padres will not trade Fernando Tatis Jr. this offseason. There was a lot of speculation about that because of the change in ownership, of the looming sale, that maybe they'd want to remove themselves from the contract of Tatis Jr. Joel Sherman strongly saying, or strongly believes that the Padres will not trade Tatis Jr. The other thing Joel Sherman said was that Kyle Schwarber, likely the first domino to fall as far as the offensive players this offseason. And to me, from a Mets perspective, that's probably not a good thing because you then have to make your decision now. Do you want Schwarber or Pete? It can't be, well, we lose Pete,
yep,
and then we go get Kyle Schwarber.
That's worst case. The Mets can't allow that to happen there. And, you know, I just think it's a less complex negotiation with Schwarber, who, you know, you're not worrying about decaying defensive skills or the, you know, eventually as he ages out, talking about Pete, or, you know, a bad deficiency throwing the baseball. Like, those things aren't calculated or baked into the negotiation. It's just, all right, how old are you? You know, what's your run generation like? What's your on-base percentage? Do you want to go home to the Reds in a small ballpark? I know the Pirates had a four-year offer on the table. Maybe they're ready to spend a little bit. He's not going to go there, but makes it interesting. But you're right. It's a dangerous game. I remember saying this late last week. It's a dangerous game where if the Mets are going to try to get Pete on the cheap, all right, which obviously they're not going to give him some exorbitant contract, so of course they're going to try to save some years here, which I get. And while you're doing that, Schwarber bounces, which seems like it's a very good possibility based on the report. And then the Red Sox come in with an offer that you just deem cavalier, like, oh, I'm not matching that. And he signs with Boston, and Schwarber's wherever. Well, you got problems at that point.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Anthony calling from New Rochelle. What's up, Ant?
Hey, BT and Sal. I hope you guys are well. And, you know, before I start, I just want to say, you know, I'm 24. I got two younger brothers. We watch you guys all the time, listen to you guys all the time. So just want to say we love you guys and best of luck in the future for you both.
Thank you.
Thanks,
and, you know, I'm a diehard Mets fan. You know, I'm a diehard baseball fan, played baseball my whole life. I think there's four or five moves that the Mets can make that I think make them World Series contenders.
All right, I'm looking forward to this. Let's hear the list. Go ahead. What do you got, Ant?
So I think one move that I think David Stern should make, and this is, by the way, this is no Alonso, no Diaz involved.
Okay.
I think the first move that the Mets should make is trading for Yandy Diaz, first baseman from Tampa.
Okay, go ahead.
33, 300 batting average, 25 home runs.
Good fielder.
I also think... Yeah. So
very
good. He's a first baseman.
Yep. Very good fielder, yep. I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And I think the Mets have to trade for Joe Ryan and Byron Buxton especially. And I think you can do this. Trading Brett Beatty and, you know, two or three of your top prospects. Again, I think Sal hit it on the head, you know, about a half hour ago when he talked about, you know, the Mets are primed to pounce in this offseason to make big moves. I think that they should trade Beatty. Couple top prospects gone. I also think that you have to sign Alex Bregman. He's a perennial winner. Get him at third base. You put Diaz at first. Then you sign Pete Fairbanks to kind of round out the back end of your bullpen. So I think if you make those three moves, those four or five moves, sorry, I mean to interrupt.
All good. Hey, making sense.
Top four in your lineup, you have Buxton, Lindor, Soto, Bregman, Diaz, Simeon. I think... that's a great start to your 5-6 lineup. I want to hear what you guys think.
Interesting. I jotted it all down.
Thank you.
Good stuff, man. You know, it's buttoned up. It's detailed. And here's the quick rundown. Yandy Diaz, Buxton, Joe Ryan, Bregman, and Fairbanks to help with the bullpen. So Fairbanks makes a lot of sense to me because while Devin Williams won't be quite as good as Diaz is when Diaz is locked in, you know, he's going to be good, and Fairbanks, I'd rather get that than give $100 million 5 years to Diaz. So I'm with you on that. I don't think the Mets are going to spend on Bregman. I just don't. Joe Ryan's been talked about. Buxton's been talked about. Diaz has not really been talked about. And, I mean, he's a good player. And he's also a righty. He's going to be a righty bat, which the Mets are going to need here.
I would need one more free agent starting pitcher or one more pitcher. You want Peralta in there? He's only adding, unless I miss something there.
Just Joe Ryan?
Yeah. That's not nearly enough.
Yeah.
You're going to need more than that.
How about Michael King? How about they try to do five or six things rather than two big things? So you get Diaz, you get Buxton, you get Ryan, you get Michael King.
I love the thought process. I love the outside-the-box thinking. It's not just, well, here are free agents, plug and play. Here are guys we heard about. He's thinking to try to build a team, which I like, and that's what Stearns is going to do. But there are going to be different variations of it. Okay, well, we want Alonso, but we want him at 3 years, and we're not going to budge off that. So if he gets a deal elsewhere, then it's going to be on to plan B as far as first base DH goes. And now that frees up more money, maybe they could go get somebody else. Maybe they do make a trade like that. I do think it is going to take... Look, when you win 83 games and you have the payroll that the Mets had, it's going to take a combination of things to get this team back on track. It's not just as easy as, whoa, go sign this guy or go trade... They need multiple things, and the process already started, meaning moving on from Brandon Nimmo and trading him for Semien. Okay, now you changed one thing up about the team. What's the rest of it going to look like? I don't think, while that is a well-thought-out plan, I'd be okay with most of it. I don't think that that's enough. I don't think you could just say, well, I'd rather spend on pitching or invest more in pitching than I would even Bregman in that scenario.
Yeah, I feel like there's no connection with Bregman to the Mets. Not that there shouldn't be. I mean, he's clutch. You know, he hits in the postseason. He's a winner. He's a very good third baseman. Yeah. But there's been no connection there. Let me see. So, yeah, I mean, but why would the Rays look to get rid of him? Talking about Diaz. Yeah, I mean, he's making $12 million this year. It's a team option. All right. So, yeah, I like that. You know, he's basically become a 300 hitter the last couple of years. No speed.
How old is he? You said?
33, 34. Okay. No, but he still hits for sure. Listen, I was thinking about this over the weekend, and it kind of ties into what you just said. Like, we're so focused on a big move or two that Met fans view as the move to get them to their first World Series in so long. And I understand that that's the destination. That's the end result. That's the dream. Like, you got to scratch that itch. It's 40 years. It's crazy. But the Mets first have to become a consistently good team.
Right, before you can get to that level. And that's what Stearns is trying to do. Harris is on Long Island. What's up, Harris?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey. Good. So real quick, first of all, I thought that guy had some good ideas. Talking about free agent starting pitchers, like, I agree with you, Sal, that the Mets' biggest need is they need two starting pitchers. I don't think they can go into the season and hope that Sean Manaea, you know, regain. I mean, yeah, look, he's going to be in the rotation. He's making $25 million, but they need two. So I say, you know, I would sign one, and I prefer Framber Valdez over Ranger Suarez, really because he's better. You know, Suarez is really good. He's pitched really well, but the guy throws, you know. Got an average fastball under 92 miles an hour.
Right, he's got to be perfect.
But he's a good pitcher, and he's been good in the clutch. And also, you have to factor in, Harris, how much each one is going to cost. That's a factor as well. Meaning, would you rather have Suarez? I don't know what the exact totals are going to be. We went over the projections a week ago, and who the hell knows if they're even on. But Valdez is projected to make more than Suarez. So if you're going to get Suarez at a lesser commitment for fewer dollars, wouldn't you rather that, or you think Valdez is worth it that much more than Suarez?
I think he's worth it that much more than Suarez.
Okay.
I think Suarez
has the potential to turn into Eduardo Rodriguez, or you could look at a million of these lefties that throw 90 to 91 with sinkers, and they just don't age well. Framber goes mid-90s. Yeah, he's not a good guy. I mean, that was horrible what he did.
Yep.
He's also had other incidents. But you know what? A mean guy on the mound who's a horse who wins, I can live with that.
What if it took you out of the running for Scooble?
Yeah, I kind of feel like the Scooble thing is like a pipe dream, you know.
Well, he's going to be a free agent. He's most likely going to be a free agent next year at the end of the offseason. I mean, unless he gets traded somewhere that's going to commit to him $400 million, I don't know who that is outside of the Mets. He's probably going to be on the open market next year. So if you're willing to take yourself out of Scooble by signing Valdez?
No. I don't think it should never take the Mets out. The Mets should never be out on Tarek Skubal,
no matter
who they sign this year.
Agreed, Harrison. Thank you for the call. But it's easy to say that, but if you commit $200 million plus for Framber Valdez, BT, I don't see the Mets committing on top of that another $400 million. To me, the formula would be investing in one big top-of-the-rotation starting pitcher, not multiple guys. That would not be the recipe for success. So it probably is an either or. I'm not saying that they can't make any other moves. I'm saying as far as the rotation goes, I don't think you could justify paying Suarez, paying Valdez big money this offseason and then expect to still go get Skubal next offseason.
I'm not sold on that. I understand the concern. I mean, I'm just trying to see what some of these guys are making here. Obviously, Soto's making massive money. Lindor, he's over 30. Simeon is what, 20, something like 25, 26 for a couple of years? I think he's something like that. Anaya's still got 19. Devin Williams on the books now, 17 or 18. McNeil's still here. Now, there's eventually a pretty good drop-off. And that's why I remember saying this a couple of years ago, whether it was Volpe, not yet Spencer Jones, but Volpe and definitely Dominguez and Wells, right? And maybe like one young pitcher. I thought it was really important for those guys to develop, and they didn't really develop the way I needed them to. Because then if they did, now you've got three or four guys who are making peanuts around the diamond. This guy's making 800. This guy's making 1-2. This guy's not going to arbitration for two more years. So it gives you more financial solvency as you have a Fried, as you have a Stanton, as you have a Judge, as you have a couple of big-time contracts. Like if Brett Beatty, and I'm not saying he's this. I like him, but I can't say it yet. Like if he really becomes the third baseman of the, you know, hits 260 and hits 25 home runs and could pick it and he's here for 10 years and he's making peanuts, that would be a massive thing for the Mets because you got rid of the Nimmo stuff. And if Alvarez and Beatty, those are the only two names I'm going to throw out there. If those two players can just reinforce and eventually finally solidify that they are the guys that we thought they could be and should be, certainly more so with Alvarez than Beatty, then I think that they could do that with the Skubal thing and with $200 million for Valdez.
Could is different than will.
Or even should. I know that they clearly.
Right.
Should.
But then also factor in Stearns. He's a guy who doesn't believe in investing in starting pitching to begin with big money.
Right, he's going to have to get over some stuff here, Stearns.
Yeah,
he's going to have to evolve.
So then maybe he says, well, yeah, I do it, but I do it for Skubal. I'm not going to do it for Skubal and Valdez. You know what I'm saying? You can't expect a guy who doesn't believe in doing that to all of a sudden do that for multiple guys. That doesn't make sense.
You know what I don't understand? I really mean this. I am baffled by this. I don't understand this. If I was a general manager in a small market, like he was prior to coming here, right? And I was beholden to a certain economic model that I just really couldn't deviate from based on revenue stream and all the things that we know that are inherently. Now, Milwaukee's not being, it's not like the Marlins, but it's not like being in New York or LA either. All right, well, that's one thing. But, like, why should the money matter to Stearns? Why?
No, it's not. It's his philosophy of building a team. You don't change that just because you have more resources. You could say, okay, well, maybe I didn't have this opportunity in Milwaukee.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. But you got to evolve a little bit. It's a different team, different template financially.
Understood, but if your principal beliefs are that you wouldn't invest big money in starting pitching, it's not because you don't have it. It's because you don't believe that those are good investments. I also agree with him. It makes no sense in today's game. We've had this argument plenty of times before. It makes zero sense to invest big money in starting pitching, especially mid-level starting pitching, because you're overpaying for it. These guys don't even give you seven innings anymore, for goodness sake. And when they do, there's no relying that they're going to stay healthy or be successful in the postseason. It is a, to me, flawed philosophy and flawed investment in today's evolved sport. I would still invest in the right one, Max Fried, Gerrit Cole, Tarek Skubal. The Brewers couldn't do that. The Mets can. Yamamoto. The Mets can do that. They can pick and choose which guys they invest big money in and would be better off to have that contract be a success versus, well, we need a pitcher. Here's Framber Valdez. He's the best one that's on the market.
He's available.
And we're gonna have to overpay to get him, but we're desperate and we need him. That just does not make sense.
See, but I'm not wrapped up in the money. And you want to tell me that's Stearns, but he's never really quite said that. So we believe, based on his actions, which are really stronger than words anyway, so I'm sure he does believe it to some extent. But what I'm saying is, like, it's one thing to have to remain married to a certain script in Milwaukee. No, add a new chapter. I'm not saying that you radically reinvent who you are that got you the job with the Mets in the first place. It's okay to evolve a little bit. Now, I'll also say this. You're right. You know, we both share this fundamental view. Like, you pay 6-7 years for whomever when they're 27, 20, and 28, 29, mm-hmm. 30 more in the case of these pitchers. You're paying 30% past performance. It's not ideal. But that's the price of doing business. So everybody else, you have to do it if you want to do it. I know it's not perfect. I also know that those guys end losing streaks. I also know that they sustain winning streaks. So is Dylan, what did Dylan see that 7 years, 210? Yeah. Idiotic. I mean, I could do a whole show on why that's idiotic. But however, if Dylan Cease was on the Mets last year, instead of these kids who were fed to the wolves and they weren't ready, and, you know, Clark Schmidt. Come on.
You're talking about the young guys?
Yeah, you know, Clay Jonah Holmes. Tom? I'm thinking Clay Holmes. Tom. Instead of Clay Holmes, and Clay Holmes did okay. Yeah. But instead of those guys going out there trying to piece something together, give me Dylan Cease, who's going to give me 200 innings, 200 strikeouts, and give me a chance at least for Lindor last year, Soto or Pete to hit a 3-run bomb to give me a chance to win. I know it's not perfect, but you need a couple of guys that can end the losing streak.
There is an in-between from where Mets fans want Stearns to go from where he was a year ago.
He's
got to find the in-between. He has to.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The game I was into most, I had the quadrant at 1 o'clock, with the Jets are unfortunately were part of it. Steelers-Ravens, the Bengals and Bills, and then the Colts-Jaguars, which that game got out of hand early. As Jones goes down, they're probably going to lose that game anyway, but Jones went down, so I had less interest in that one. But I love that Bills-Bengals game. Did you catch any of that? It was in the snow, back and forth, Burrow and the Bengals couldn't be stopped early on. And then, unfortunately, late for them, Burrow threw a couple of key picks, and the Bills came away with the win. Maybe the most important result of those games was the Steelers beating up on the Ravens, who just are toast. Talk about Mike Tomlin being out. I mean, how do you bring back Harbaugh after this?
Hey, I don't know. I mean, that's I like John Harbaugh. I don't love him the way others do. I definitely like him. Yeah, he's been thrown out there over the years. Maybe the Jets could trade for him. Maybe the Giants could trade for him. I mean, he's not Jim. Put it down. He's not
his
brother.
But you wouldn't hire him if you're the Giants and he's available?
I'm not saying I wouldn't do that, but is he? I don't think his contract is up, is it? So you'd have to trade for him unless he was fired. Unless he was fired. Either way, I'll tell you, even one of the, I mean, a game that you would have basically no interest in watching, even the Titans-Browns was entertaining. I mean, that was a wild
game. Now, I didn't watch that. Did you watch that because you had the
No, I was following it. I just saw the highlights. But Sanders put up almost 370 and three touchdowns, and the Vikings-Commanders was a complete snooze fest. Dolphins-Jets stunk.
See, I have an issue with, like, I can't miss out on things. So earlier in the year, it's like, oh, crap, there are 7 1 o'clock games. And we just watch football differently, you and I.
Yeah, totally.
So I'm like, there's 7 1 o'clock games. I could only get 4 in the quadrant. Which ones am I going to leave out? And then, you know, throughout the course of the game, halftime or third quarter, games getting out of hand, then you could switch. Now it's easier for me because immediately I rule out the Browns-Titans game means nothing. Vikings-Commanders officially out. Bucs-Saints out. So now I'm working with the games that mean something there. So that's why it was easier for me to enjoy yesterday, although I had to have the Jets and Dolphins. And quickly, once that game was officially done, I moved on from that one.
And even tonight, you got the Eagles and the Chargers, which should be fun. All right, so let's just get a quick look here at the wild card standings. All right, just kind of get a sense because it was kind of wacky. All right, so the Broncos at the top seed now. Obviously, the Pats are number 2. I know that the Rams, I remember hearing this. I think Jerry may have said it on the way in.
Did you see, I know we glossed over it before, sorry, BT, you mentioned the Broncos. Did you see how the Raiders ended up covering that game?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's what Portnoy lost to mine over, right?
Oh, my God, yeah. Yes,
that's a rough beat right there,
When we made the pick, I took the Raiders at +7.5, which covered anyway, but it went up to +8 or -8.5, so.
How'd you do on your picks, by the way? I know you didn't win, but did you nail, like, the parlay?
3-1 again.
All right. There you go. 3-1.
Yeah, but I'm going to have the best record. I can't cash out. I won the Raiders +7.5.
Yeah.
I won the Rams, who blew out the Cardinals.
They crushed them.
That
Cardinals
was a layup.
A
and then what was the other game that I had? I had the other winner. I had the Packers over the Bears.
Okay.
They were laying 6.5. So 3 there, and then I lost on the Colts, the game I went head-to-head with you. I thought that they would bounce back against the Jags.
It's wild, though. Some of the teams right now that are not playoff teams, the Colts, the Chiefs, the Ravens, all right.
You hit for the third straight week.
I did, back-to-back.
Did you know that, Hoff, that he hit a two-teamer? You did know that? Yeah, look at Hoff.
He looks thrilled. Wow.
Yeah.
So who's in the lead now? That would be me, right?
I would assume so,
It means nothing.
Yeah.
What, are we going to just go in the street and dress up?
No,
I'm not going to pay this thing off. I'm going to win it. I'm going to win it. There's going to be no station to pay it off for.
As long as we're on the middays, I'll dress up as whatever you want. Once that ends, I'm sorry, BT.
There is an expiration, but that sucks. I mean, I am proud. I was like, I was hanging by a thread. I was.
Well, we can keep it going off the air just to see who would win. Want to win was keep the tournament going.
Yeah, but the fun is the payout. Looking at like clown.
The fun isn't winning.
Gold dust or come on.
The fun isn't winning. Maybe we could figure out a way to pay it off on social media or something, but. You're just saying that now because you're going to win. You think you're going to win.
Well, still four weeks
to go.
Exactly. Like if we stopped right now, yes, you're in the lead. But, I mean, your lead's like 10 points, 15 points.
We don't stop now.
I think I picked up 5.
I was destroyed.
Yeah, I picked up the 5, too, because I went Miami.
No, but the fact that he's hit 3 in a row, that has not happened in perfect parlay history.
Back to back.
Huff.
Doesn't mean you win, though.
I mean,
not yet. Not yet, but that's how you do it, too. You went 3-3, and then you're like, you know what? I'm where I need to be. Let me dial it down to a two-teamer.
That's right. And what I said was, before I made the two-teamer, I'm like, okay, now, because I was getting blitzed early on, I just had to take a few shots downfield. I said, now that I've hit 2 3-teamers in a row, I can now open up the playbook. I can throw a couple of checkdowns, keep the chains moving, inch toward the goal line, and I went for the two-teamer. Both were pretty easy. Like, they weren't really close here. But, I mean, listen, it's gambling. It's hot and cold. It's what it is.
That's where I got screwed, though, because normally I wouldn't go for the four-teamer. You always add that extra leg.
Yep.
Because should have just cashed out a 3. Man, God. Story of my life. Close, but no cigar. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Rock is on Long Island. What's up, Rock?
Rock.
Hey, guys. Really quick. You guys are the best.
Thank you.
Love you guys. You guys are my serenity. So anyway, with that being said, at Fanatics Fest, by any chance, did you guys ever get a look at some of the pictures that Abdul Carter took?
Some of the pictures that he took? What do you mean? I looked at his socials. There wasn't a whole lot up there.
The fans. Okay. I took pictures with Abdul, Scottaboo, Sims, and Eli, and Dart. So he holds up these three fingers, and we get in the car. My son says, hey, Dad. He says, are those gang signs? I said, no, Rocco, those the three are the, you know, he was picked the third pick.
Right.
Now, here we are, like, 10, you know, that was in June. So here we are, like, four, five, 6 months later. And I look at the picture now and I say to myself, you know what? This guy had the audacity to ask for the grid. And by no means was Lawrence Taylor an angel. But you had the audacity to ask for the one of the, not one of the greatest defensive player's number. And this is the way you're going to behave. It's like almost insulting to me as a Giants fan. And it should be almost insulting to the Giants organization. Like, you need to clean up your act.
Hey, by the way, Rock, hold on. I wouldn't even use the word, I respect that you do. I wouldn't use the word insulting. I would use the word worrisome. Because if you're that delusional to ask for, and it wasn't just Lawrence's, it was Phil's number as well. Because that's what he wore at Penn State. And just sleep through a rookie year where you're not even engaged. There's no guarantee that you ever get it.
No, do you know he's never getting it? There's no way the Giants are going to give anybody number 56. Nobody.
No, I mean right. get like no, where it clicks.
Right. No, meaning understanding what he needs to do, Rock, to be successful. That's exactly what we're talking about. Thank you for the call. Forget the number.
Yeah, not the number.
The idea that you would lack awareness enough. I don't even want to say self-awareness because it's more than the self-awareness. You're lacking awareness of what went on here with the Giants in their history when you come in and think, dude, I almost wish he did get that number. You imagine?
Oh,
you think it's bad now? If he were wearing 56?
The truth of the matter is, when he asked for it, I mean, everybody thought it was ridiculous. Most people, right. Brazen, what are you doing, disrespectful. I didn't really have an issue with it as much as others because I thought he was going to be the real deal. And I'm like, man, there's no way that this kid is going to ask for that number and not understand the magnitude of what it's going to represent. But he doesn't.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.